Well, good morning. We're grateful for your presence. Bubba spoke Wednesday of a reoccurring nightmare that he had, and I guess we've all had those reoccurring nightmares from time to time. At different ages of my life, I had different reoccurring nightmares, and as you go through different stages, you have some of those other reoccurring nightmares. And one of mine was, when I was doing preaching a little bit more, was getting up, stepping up on the steps, and my foot just caught one of the top steps, and I just kissed the carpet. And then it, nightmare got worse. My pages, they just all scattered all over the floor, and then I'm trying to regain my composure, and people out there are trying, what do we do? Do we help him up? Is he hurt? And then I'm trying to get up and trying to save my face, and I said, I'll just grab all my papers and I'll put them back together and then we'll just proceed with the lesson. Nightmare gets worse. I forgot to number my pages. So all my pages are just all over the place and it's like trying to put a puzzle together. I can't put that puzzle together. So I say, well, okay, well, two strikes. You know, I'm just going to talk about the subject and I'm just going to try to just remember what I've said and go through what I prepared for. Well, the nightmare gets worse. I forget my subject. And so it's just like, oh, okay, strike three, you're out. We'll just do the invitation song. Well, fortunately for me, maybe not for you, I didn't stumble and I didn't drop all my pages. And I've got my pages numbered, all 79 pages of them. And we're not going to go up to the invitation song. I greatly value the opportunity to share some words with you from the Word of God, and I hope some of the things that I will say this morning will help make you run a little bit harder, think a little bit deeper, and realize the hope that we have only in Jesus Christ. There was a young man approached a little league baseball game one afternoon, and the sun was real bright. He got there just a little bit late, and he looked up at the scoreboard, and I said, the sun was kind of shining in his eyes. He said, surely that score can't be right. And so he went out to the dugout, and he asked the little boy who was just kind of kicking dirt around and chewing a big wad of gum and having fun with the other little kids in the dugout. And the man asked him, he said, I'm sorry, I was just trying to see the score there. He said, would you mind telling me what the score is? And the little boy, he kind of squinted back at the scoreboard with the sun in his eyes. He said, it's 18 to nothing, and we're behind. And the man said, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to impose on you, and I'm so sorry about the score, and I hope that tomorrow's game will be a whole lot better. I hope that you're not discouraged. And the little boy looked back at the scoreboard and looked back at the man, and he said, why should I be discouraged? He said, it's only 18 to nothing. It's the first inning, and we haven't even had a chance to bat yet. Maybe this morning you find yourself down 18 to nothing. But it's not a little league baseball game. It's the game of life. Or maybe you find yourself facing the giants where you're being challenged by what seems like unbeatable odds. Or perhaps you find your faith shipwrecked. You're at the crossroads of life. You don't know who or what to place your hope in. 18 to nothing. Is there any hope? Difficulties, disappointments, discouragement, distractions, conflicts, challenges, circumstances, they all surface and resurrect hope. Hope is the belief that things will work out, especially when it seems otherwise. Hope keeps us going. Hope drives us. Our lives are full of hope. Hope is something that is universal for someone. Everyone places their hope in someone or some place or something. We hope for a good life. We hope for peace. We hope for the well-being of our loved ones. We hope for good reports from doctor exams. And if we've had a bad day, we hope for a better one. Hope is necessary unless you find yourself standing in the wrong line, hoping for the wrong things, hoping for things that really don't matter, hoping with the wrong people. And then we find ourselves down 18 to nothing. Is there any hope? This morning I'd like to discuss the Christian hope and how the Christian hope changes who you are, what you value, and who you place your trust in. Number one, the Christian hope changes who you are. From the early chapters of Genesis, we mankind find ourselves in perfect harmony with God, made in His image, walking with God. And then in one short inning, we find ourselves down 18 to nothing with no hope because of sin. Sin separates us from God. And sin changes our life from walking with God to walking without God. And walking in the light to walking in the darkness. And having fellowship with God and being separated from God. So things had to change. Not with God. God is perfect. Things had to change for you and I. But man couldn't cleanse himself from sin because we were the ones infected or contaminated with sin. And so because of God's love and His mercy for you and I, He sent the perfect, matchless sacrifice, His only begotten Son, so that we could be redeemed and reconciled back to Him. So when we are baptized for the remission of our sins, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes us as a new creature. In Jesus, we are cleansed. In Jesus, we are forgiven. In Jesus, we are given a new purpose. And in Jesus, we're given a new hope. Hope in Jesus Christ, it changes everything. And when I really know and believe Jesus, then my whole way of life changes. It has to change. Because my old self has been crucified. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2 and 20. So being a Christian is not merely one who professes to believe in Jesus, but rather it is one who is a follower and a student of Jesus Christ. And being a Christian is an ongoing, lifelong process of following the examples of Jesus Christ. That's my purpose, and that's your purpose in 1 Peter 2 and 21. So Christianity, it's a way of life, patterning our life after His life, Jesus Christ, so that we can have that hope of being resurrected in His likeness. And so we place all our faith and our love and our hope in Him. And that is what we as followers of Jesus Christ see. That this life, this body, this soul has an eternal home. And that eternal home is somewhere very special. Heaven. Prepared by someone very special, Jesus Christ. And prepared for someone very special. And that's you and I. And so what that tells us is that we're on a journey. That this isn't the destination. This world is not our home. Hebrews 13, 14 through 21. That we are pilgrims on this earth as noted in 1 Peter 2 and 21. That we're in a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. But that we're assured of the victory in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. And that our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. And that we will never be alone. That we will never be abandoned. That we will never be forsaken. That we will never be forgotten. Hebrews 13:5. Because we are children of God. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. During the Second World War, the U.S. Army was forced to retreat from the Philippines. And it is noted that some of the soldiers were unfortunately left behind. And they became prisoners of the Japanese. The men called themselves ghosts, souls unseen by their nation. And it is estimated that 80,000 prisoners of war were forced to walk the 70-mile journey to the Japanese prison camps. And those who were too slow or too weak because of starvation and dehydration, they were bayoneted by their captives. Those who made it through the march spent the next three and a half years in a prison of war camp where they were continuously forced, tortured, abused, starved, physical abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse. It's noted that in 1945 that there were less than 1,000 soldiers that were still alive in the prison camp. But all of them had given up hope of being rescued. Their wavering hope of staying alive and being rescued was, however, met by one of the most magnificent rescue war times of history. Albie Robinson was one of the rescuers, where he described how he found a lonely prisoner, muttered in a darkened corner of his prison. And with tears flowing down the prisoner of war's face, beaten, broken down, body revealing the skeleton of his body, whispered and said, "I thought we had been forgotten." Where Robinson replied softly, putting his arms around the soldier, and he said, "No, you're not forgotten. You're heroes. We've come for you. We're bringing you home." You know, often in life, we can give up hope. To feel that God has perhaps forgotten us, or that God has abandoned us to dark and hurtful experiences of life. But the cross of Jesus Christ reminds us that we're not forgotten. Jesus has come to rescue us. And the resurrection gives us the assurance that someday too, we shall see our rescuer, Jesus Christ, face to face, and be set free from the distress in this life. And when Jesus returns, perhaps we too will hear, "I have come for you. I'm bringing you home." Colossians 1 and 13, verses 14 through 15, it says that God rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God rescued us from the dark domain and set you and I free from the bondage of sin, to know that we are not forgotten. For Jesus will come again and take us from this life to eternal life. We're children of God. We will never be abandoned. We will never be forsaken. We will never be forgotten. Most people think that they're in the land of the living, heading towards the land of the dying. But truth is that we're in the land of the dying, headed towards the land of the living. We're pilgrims. We're on our way home. We live in this world, but we're not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2. For we're going to a city whose builder and whose maker is God, Hebrews 11:9-18. We're going to a city that our soul longs after. We're children of God going home. Hebrews 10:23, which said, let us hold fast the confession of what? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who has promised is faithful. So the Christian hope changes who we are. And then number two, the Christian hope changes what we value. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, it reads in verse 8, it says, and we refer to this as the temptation of Jesus. And it says in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 4, it says, and again the devil took him along to a very high mountain. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he showed him all the glories. And Satan said to Jesus, all these things, I will give to you if you fall down and you worship me. And Jesus said to Satan, go away. Go away, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Sometimes we find ourselves on a very high mountain. We find ourselves at the mountaintop, if you would. Well, we have all the glories of the world before our eyes. And we can have all these things. All the glitters of the world that Satan sets before our eyes. But it comes with a cost, doesn't it? What we value will determine what we glory in and what we invest our time and our energy and our resources in and what we hunger and thirst after, which will eventually and ultimately determine where we spend our eternal destination. It's easy to get caught up in things, enjoyment and pleasures of life, future dreams, our jobs, our families, homes, our hobbies, activities with our children. And none of these things are wrong within themselves unless they're taking our time and our energy and our resources and our talents away from God and where we give God our leftovers, placing our value and worshiping things rather than God. There was a family who for a time was attending a congregation on a regular basis. But the family began to slowly drift away. They missed once, then two, three, four, five, six, seven, and eight became real easy. And they began to get caught up in things and events of their young teenage daughter. Extracurricular activities, soccer, softball, basketball, clothes, fashions, where trophies and popularity took priority over Christianity. Their 16-year-old daughter valued the things, the same values of her parents, which were things. But things failed. Things didn't materialize. Things offered no hope where a young girl of 16 years of age gave up hope on everything and everyone and committed suicide. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the things, the clothes, and the fashions, trophies and the popularities mattered. Things will fail you. People will fail you. Places will fail you. But God will never fail you. And God will never forsake you. 1 Timothy 6 and 17, it says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertain riches, but to fix their hope on God. The Christian hope is not in things or about things. The warning we read in 1 John 2:15 sets the warning, and it says, love not the world, neither the things. Love not the things of this world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, what happens to the world? It all fades away. But he who does the will of God will live forever. What you have today will belong to someone else tomorrow. It is all temporary. But your soul belongs to you throughout all eternity. What does it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Our Christian values reside in Christ and not in things. Our values are to bring others to Christ by our actions, by our teachings, by what we do or what we do not participate in, by what we say or what we do not say, by what we wear or what we do not wear, by where we go or where we do not go. Our values are grounded and rooted in love. Not love for things, but love for Christ, love for one another, love for the soul of all of mankind. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that it is the love of Christ that controls him. Our values are anchored in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 through 24. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and self-control. Life is not about things. But brother, life is about anchoring our hope and yielding our allegiance to Jesus Christ, to the one who has set us free from the bondage of sin, and to the one who will bring us home. May we make sure that we place our values not in uncertain riches, nor in things of the world. But may we make sure that our values are the same values that God values, to be holy as he is holy. So the Christian hope changes who we are, what we value, and number three, the Christian hope changes who we place our trust in. When we peel back the layers of life, will we stop and reflect about the fundamental questions of who am I? How did I get here? Why am I here? Where am I going? And what is my purpose? It is within these times that we are reminded of hope that is something bigger than you and I. It is bigger than anything. It is bigger than any place. It is bigger than anyone, for it is the hope in God. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is all-present. And when we come to the realization that this life is only the journey and it's not the destination, and that we were never meant to live on this earth forever, and that our hope is beyond us, it's beyond things, it's beyond creation, that is when we find ourselves down, 18 to nothing. Is there any hope? And that is when we're reminded, blessed are the poor in spirit. Because life in general, it it just doesn't make any sense without God in the picture. And you can never be complete without God in your life because you didn't make yourself. God made you, and God created you and I for a purpose, for His purpose. For hope can never be complete in man, our places, our things. For the Christian hope is never based upon what is possible with man. But the Christian hope looks away from man and it looks to the promises of God. And when hope looks away from man to the promises of God, it becomes the full assurance of hope, the expectation of great things from God. Our whole being and our journey in this life is hope in God. God's word is unquestionable. God is always right. God is always holy. God is always trustworthy. Our hope is in God. That's who God is. Romans 15 and 13 says, the God of hope. Our hope is Jesus Christ. And a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 5. Our hope is in the Scriptures. Romans chapter 15 verse 4, it reads, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and through encouragement that you might have hope through the Scriptures. Our hope is set on the living God, who is the Savior of all of mankind. 1 Timothy 4 and 10. Our hope is in the gospel, Colossians 1 and 23. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not shifting from the hope of the gospel. And our hope is the full assurance until the end, Hebrews chapter 6 and 11 and 12. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, steadfast and sure, and one which enters the veil. But on the other hand, if you do not place your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ, then there is no hope. Years ago, a submarine was rammed by a ship off the coast of Massachusetts. The submarine sank instantly, and the crew was entrapped in what they called a prison house of death. Every effort was made to rescue the crew, but all ultimately failed. And near the end of the ordeal, a deep sea diver who was part of the rescue crew thought he heard some tapping on the still of the vessel. He placed his helmet on the side of the vessel and realized that it was a Morse code. And in his mind, he spelled out the Morse code that was tapping from within. And that Morse code, ever becoming fainter and fainter and fainter, with the same message. Is there any hope? Unfortunately, there was no hope. And if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, then there is no hope. For it is only through Jesus Christ that we find that hope. It's called the living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, that assures us of the inheritance that we have through Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with this story. Years ago, there was a young father and mother whose little boy was very sick and not expected to live much longer. Night after night, the young father and mother would put their little boy to bed. and say a prayer, hoping for a miracle. And one evening, the little boy looked at his father and said, "Daddy, what does it feel like to die?" And the father struggled to speak a word, and then he put his hand on the little face of his son. And he said, "Son, it's something like this. Night after night, you go to sleep on the couch watching your favorite shows. You don't know it, but I find yourself asleep on the couch, and I take you in my arms. And I bring you to the room that I built for you with my own hands." And the young father continued with tears in his eyes and said, "And son, one of these days you're going to fall asleep here. But you don't have to be afraid. For Jesus is going to come. And he's going to pick you up. And he's going to bring you to his room that he prepared for you. One day, we too will fall asleep. But we don't have to be afraid. For Jesus will come and pick us up and take us to the room that he has prepared for you and I. This is our hope, and this is our faith, and this is our love that we're going home." Well, I hope you don't find yourself behind 18-0 or facing giants challenged by what seems like unbeatable odds, or that you find yourself in the crossroads of life, not knowing what or who to hope in. But more importantly, I hope that you have that hope in Jesus Christ, the living hope. Has a Christian hope changed who you are, changed what you value, changed who you place your trust in? Perhaps you find yourself in a death march, marching aimlessly through life, feeling abandoned, feeling forgotten. Or perhaps you're like those within the submarine, tapping within your soul. Is there any hope? Where Jesus stands at the door of your soul and is knocking, not the Morse code, but knocking the eternal words of life, and says, "I have come for you." Revelation 3:21. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and gentle and humble in heart." What does the rest of the scripture say in Matthew 11:28-29? It doesn't say maybe you will, or is there's a good chance that you will. But it says, "And you will find rest unto your soul." Is there any hope? Yeah, there's hope. There's life. There's forgiveness. There's a new start. There's a new finish line. But that hope is in Jesus Christ alone. If you don't have Jesus, then you just don't have any hope. And if you need to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins so that you can have that living hope that only Jesus Christ can provide, or if we can assist you in any other way, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing.